a serious message today, but before we get into it, let me give you the Thanksgiving forecast, in case you have not heard this yet. It says, turkeys will thaw in the morning, then warm in the oven to an afternoon high near 190 degrees. The kitchen will turn hot and humid, and if you bother the cook, be ready for a severe squall or cold shoulder. During the late afternoon and evening, the cold front of a knife will slice through the turkey, causing an accumulation of 1 to 2 inches on plates. Mashed potatoes will drift across one side, while cranberry sauce creates slippery spots on the other. Please pass the gravy. A weight watch and indigestion warning have been issued for the entire area, with increased stuffiness around the beltway. During the evening, the turkey will diminish and taper off to leftovers, dropping to a low of 34 in the refrigerator. Looking ahead to Friday and Saturday, high pressure to eat sandwiches will be established. Flurries of leftovers can be expected both days, with a 50% chance of scattered soup late in the day. We expect a warming trend where soup develops. By early next week, eating pressure will be low, as the only wish left will be the bone. That's your Thanksgiving forecast. Ladies, what to do when your knight's armor has rusted? I don't normally preach to just a certain group of people in the congregation, although we are in this series, but everybody gets covered during these 4 weeks. I'd like to draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 and 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything, verse 24 says. One of the most difficult commands in the Bible for many wives is to submit to their own husbands as unto the Lord. For the wife, this creates a double fear with terror concerning what her husband might do. On the contrary, the only way a wife has to make her husband a good head of the home, and instead of a bad one, is for her to use the incredibly powerful tool of submission. Ladies, this is one of your tools to make your husband a knight in shining armor. And verse 33 of chapter 5 says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. But the part we're interested in today is that the wife see that she reverence her husband. When submission is combined with reverence, dynamic power is released. There is the power to change your whole attitude toward life. There is the power to protect yourself from your husband's foolish decisions. There is the power for you to grow spiritually. There is the power to help you make your husband what God intends for him to be. There is the power to influence your husband to do good or evil. There is the power to protect your husband's vulnerable back. And there is even the power to change your husband. We've heard a lot about submission, but we don't hear much about the other word in that passage. And that word is reverence. We don't hear a whole lot about that particular word. So that is going to be the center of our focus today. Without a doubt, a wife's most important responsibility to her husband is to reverence him. Submission is a wife's position. Reverence is her practice or activity. Reverence is the command that gives balance and meaning to submission. It is also the thing that makes a wife a success as a wife. You see, the need of a wife given by the Creator is her to have security and love from her husband. That is a wife's greatest need, that she would feel secure and that she would know that her husband loves her. But the husband, his need given by his Creator is for his wife's reverence. A husband needs to be reverenced by his wife. Reverence motivates a husband, moves him, builds him, lifts him, challenges him, empowers him, and encourages him. I'll tell you a story today. This story is a true story. It took place in another church reported by a pastor. The names have been changed, even though I don't think anyone would know who I'm talking about this morning. June was about 40 years of age. She had a wonderful relationship with her husband and had raised successfully several godly children. She was counseling with a girl named Hope who had a real crisis situation. And so June called her pastor and told him that Hope desperately needed help, and she needed help today. Hope's problem was that her husband told her that he was going to move out when he got home from work that night. He told her his plan was to get a divorce. They'd only been married for 1 year, and they had a little boy. The father adored the boy and said he would support the boy, but he just didn't love Hope anymore, and he didn't want to stay married to her anymore, and he didn't want to support her. Wives, I'm going to give you the key today to either build or save your marriage. We're going to talk about reverence. I guess the first thing we have to do is ask the question, well, what is reverence? What is it anyway? We'll answer that question. First of all, reverence is the command that gives balance and meaning to submission. Reverence is the command that gives balance and meaning to submission. God gives husbands one basic command, and it's a tall one. It's a tall order. The husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. That is his basic command. But God gives wives two basic commands, and they are submit and reverence. Submission is the place or position of the wife in relation to the home. Please understand that it is not an inferior position. It does not mean that in any way, shape, or form you are inferior to your husband. It does not mean that at all. The Vice President of the United States is not inferior to the President. He simply has a different position and different responsibility. Reverence is the practice or activity of the wife in her relation to her husband. It's her responsibility. It's the duty that she has been given by God to fulfill. For a wife to submit to her husband without reverence would make her submission seem insincere. And that would cause the husband to test his wife's submission by asking her to do something that he knows she wouldn't want to do. Maybe even asking her to do something that God would forbid her to do. A wife who shows reverence to her husband will be able to tell him no when he asks her to do evil, and he will respect her for her refusal. However, he will tend to react to a wife who is submissive on the outside, but who lacks a spirit of reverence on the inside. So again, submission is your place. If you would picture it this way this morning, you are like the co-pilot on an airplane. From that position, the wife has access to the controls that she needs to use. If she's in the pilot's seat, she probably will not have access to the controls that God means for her to have. So reverence is the practice or activity of the wife. It's her main task to see that the plane of the home flies properly so that her husband, the pilot, and herself, the co-pilot, get their passengers, the children, to the place where they are supposed to go. Can a lady fly the plane from the pilot's seat? Yes, she can, but if she does, she will probably fly it alone. She will think that she and her husband are just simply changing seats. But what happens more than likely is for her to look over at the pilot's seat and realize that he's gone. And where has her husband gone? He has gone back with the passengers. He's gone back with the children. And you know, that dad, that father, will be the most difficult of all the passengers. He'll be in some ways even more difficult than the children to deal with. He may turn into a couch potato, or he might turn into a TV addict. And after all the criticizing, nagging, and whining that the wife does, she will probably never, ever get him back into the cockpit. And what she was supposed to have done might not get it done at all. They might reach their destination, but it will not be a smooth ride. Both in Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Peter 3, where it talks about husband and wife relationships, the wife is told to submit before the husband is told to love. It's like God says, wives, you walk into the cabin of that airplane and you make a conscious decision to sit in the co-pilot seat. And then you look at your husband and you say to him, honey, you will look real nice in this seat right here. You would look just great sitting in the pilot seat, and I will be your co-pilot, and every now and then I'll get up behind you and I'll give you a back rub and I'll tell you what a great job you are doing flying this plane. No, I really believe the answer to problems in the homes is for each of you, each of us, husband and wife, is to sit in our proper seats and start doing our jobs. Start doing our proper jobs. If the husband does his job and if the wife does her job, there's not going to be these problems in the home. The CEO of the airlines, Jesus Christ, has assigned you your particular duties. It has nothing to do with who is better than the other or who is smarter than the other or anything like that. One lady said, I've learned there is very little difference in husbands, so you might as well keep the first one. But what if the person who is to fly the plane refuses? What if your husband refuses to take the pilot's seat? Should the co-pilot then take over and switch seats? No. If she will stay in her seat and do her job properly, she is far more likely to get her husband into the pilot seat and to do his job. And then reverence. It's the command that gives balance and meaning to submission, but it's also what makes a woman a success as a wife. Reverence is what makes a woman a success as a wife. Submission benefits the wife. It gives her position of power and influence, and I really don't think wives understand the power of influence that they have. That's not the focus of the message this morning, but when you are submissive, you have an incredible power of influence. But reverence is what benefits the husband the most. It's not position, but action. Reverence motivates a husband. Reverence moves a husband. Reverence builds a husband. Reverence lifts a husband. Reverence challenges a husband. Reverence empowers a husband. Reverence encourages a husband so that he is able to become what God wants him to be. Wives, the things that you do for your husband, even now, think about those things that you do for him. Do those things with the idea that they are the means by which you are showing reverence to your husband. Reverence is the activity of a wife, esteeming, respecting, admiring, and praising her husband. The Greek word for reverence, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, I like this old dictionary, it says, to regard with reverence, to regard with fear, mingled with respect and affections. And in that old dictionary, it gives sometimes Bible verses as part of the definition. And in Ephesians chapter 5, the verse is given in the dictionary as part of the definition. And it says, let the wife see that she reverence her husband. It means awe, fear, fearful, reverence. In fact, of the 93 times the Greek word is translated in the New Testament, 63 times it is translated fear. Reverence is used in 91 definitions, including admire, adore, and awe. Now listen to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And there's that word again, fear. But first of all, I want you to understand that men are more seers than hearers. They would more likely see what you are doing rather than hear what you are saying. And that's why the Bible's saying us that your husbands can be won without the word. The conversation of the wife, her actions will speak much louder than her words. A wife who is to have chaste conversation coupled with fear. A wife who reverences her husband is afraid to not give him the respect that he deserves, and she is afraid that she would show disrespect to him in any way. That's what the Bible means by reverence. Reverence is what makes a woman a success as a wife. And then reverence is a wife finding the joy of meeting a need of her husband given to him by our wise Creator. Reverence is a wife finding the joy of meeting a need of her husband given to him by our wise Creator. This is the husband's greatest need. Wives, you know that your need is to be loved by your husband. That is your greatest need, that my husband would just love me and that I would have security in this relationship. As much as you want to be loved by your husband wants you to reverence him. You know, every time I have counseled a couple, before they come in the door, I know what their problem is going to be. I know what they are going to say. The wife is going to say, "My husband doesn't love me anymore." Or, "My husband doesn't love me like he should, like he used to do." And the husband undoubtedly will say, "My wife doesn't respect me. She doesn't show me the respect that I think I deserve." Those are your greatest needs. It boils down to those two things. Husbands, you love your wives as Christ loved the church. You sacrifice, you give yourself for her, you make her feel secure. And wives, you reverence, you respect your husbands. That's our needs. Proverbs warns of the counterfeit reverence the strange woman uses to allure men. Proverbs 7:21 says, "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him." Flattery is a net that is spread for the feet. Reverence is more powerful than flattery. So why would a man accept flattery? Because he hasn't had any reverence. Wives, the use of reverence is the best way for you to protect your husband against the dangers of flattery. I mean, I've seen the women that some guys have run off with. And why would they ever leave their wife to run off with a guy like that? Or I've seen the other things happen too. And I wonder, why did these two ever get together? Because they start showing attention. The woman starts to reverence and respect the man. And she spreads a net for his feet. One lady wrote, "I believe that lack of respect, in some cases overt disrespect, are holding many men back." Reverence is so powerful that it can turn a man in almost any direction. Wives, if you will give your husband genuine praise and attention each day, it will draw his heart to you. Consider this. One of the reasons why God made man was for reverence and worship. Certainly, man is not God, but man is made in God's image. And there is a definite comparison here. It was the worst thing that we can do as Christians. The worst thing that we can do is to violate the first commandment, to put any God above our God. What is the worst thing a wife can do to her husband? To reverence any man above her husband. The Bible story that illustrates how much men want to be reverenced is found in Esther chapter 1. If it wasn't such a true story, it would be almost humorous. Ahasuerus, known in history as King Xerxes, was one of the most powerful and wealthy men who ever lived. He ruled 127 provinces all the way from India to Ethiopia. His palace was magnificent. I've heard about his throne room, how brilliant it was. All of these things showed out how much he wanted to be reverenced. In fact, he held a delegation one day, and he had these guests in his kingdom. His kingdom was so vast that it took him 180 days to show off his majestic buildings and the things that he possessed. During this feast, he called for Queen Vashti to come and show her beauty to the people at the king's feast. Exactly what that means, nobody really knows. All we know for sure is that Vashti refused to come. Suddenly, to this all-powerful king, all of his magnificent buildings meant nothing. All of his wealth meant nothing to him. Everything that he possessed meant nothing, because the one person who meant the most to him, as far as being reverenced was concerned, didn't give it to him. And the Bible says that he became very wroth. And he called in all of his wise men and his counselors, and he told them his situation and said, "What am I going to do about this?" And in Esther chapter 1, verses 16 through 22, it says, "And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, 'Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all men, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported.' The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go out a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small." And the same pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. For he sent letters unto all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. This is incredible. Here is a king whose wife will not reverence him. And the men of the kingdom are so concerned about it, they're afraid that their wives might do the same thing. So they publish a law, and they send out letters. And the letter says every wife is to reverence, every wife is to honor her husband. There had to be a law that was set forth to make sure that every wife honor and reverence her husband. That's how much, ladies, men want to be reverenced. That's how much they need to be reverenced. They need your respect and your praise. What reverence is not? Point two on the outline. June's pastor told June to teach Hope to reverence her husband. She also had to explain to her what is not reverence. If you do reverence and also do things that don't give reverence, you will cancel out the reverence. What is the opposite of reverence? What is it that a wife must make sure she does not do and break the command of God to reverence her husband? There in your sheet, correcting, complaining, criticizing, contentions, and nagging is not reverence. Correcting, complaining, criticizing, contentions, and nagging is not reverence. Some husbands will start a story, and the wife will immediately interrupt him and correct him. And then he will start there and try to tell the story, and she will interrupt and correct him again. Her husband throws up his hands and says, "Will you tell the story then?" And she says, "No, I don't want to tell the story. You tell the story. I just want to make sure you tell it right." You ever heard anything like that? Story might go in 1961. "No, it was 1962, honey." "Well, okay, 1962. We were traveling near Madison, Wisconsin." "No, honey, it was closer to Wisconsin Dells." And everybody is listening to the story, and they say, "Who cares what year it was, and who cares what town it was near?" Now, I'm not saying that a wife should never correct her husband. I'm not saying that at all. There are times when we need that correction, but I'm saying that sometimes the only one who cares about those little trivial corrections is the corrector herself, and everybody else is embarrassed. There's a lady's sweatshirt that has this slogan printed on it: "If a man speaks in the forest and there is no woman there to hear him, Is he still wrong? Now, one reason why ladies have a hard time, they have a problem, and they feel like they need to criticize their husband is because their husbands do gross things. They belch, they spit in the sink, they slurp. And sometimes it's hard for a delicate and proper lady to respect a man who is doing such gross things. I make no defense for such men, and yet the Bible does not say, see that a wife reverence her husband unless he does gross things. Proverbs 19:13 says, the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. The contentions of the wife are those daily arguments. She's not the prudent wife of the next verse. Proverbs 19:14, a prudent wife is from the Lord. Ladies, think about that job that your husband has not done that you've been after him to do. Often we hear that it's the leaky faucet. Faucet has just been leaking, and it's been leaking for years, and you've been after your husband to fix that faucet. And the noise of that drip, drip, drip gets under your skin, and it's an irritation to you. The contentions of a wife are like that faucet, the dripping, drip, 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 continual dripping. After a while, if you let that faucet leak long enough, there might be a rust spot where the water has continually dripped. You know, the same thing might happen to your husband's armor. That shining armor, your knight in shining armor might have rust on his suit because of the contention in your home. The continual dropping is quite vivid. It's a picture of a sagging roof slumping lower after each rainstorm until eventually the whole roof, the whole mess just falls in. Proverbs 17:14 says, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Water leaks through a crack in the roof. What begins as a pinhole develops into a pencil hole and quickly widens into an armhole. If that flow is not stopped, it will open a large breach. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Nagging. I bet I've asked you to fix that screen door 80 times. Nancy's husband fixed their screen door the day it broke. Sally's husband keeps their lawn perfect and ours looks like a jungle. And your dirty underwear were left on the floor again this morning. And your socks were left in the bathroom. And all you ever do is eat and sleep and watch TV and read the newspaper. I've seen some ladies, I think their dad must have been an auctioneer, the way they can talk and go at it. Listen, I'm serious here for a moment. You can either praise your husband for what he does, or you can nag him for what he doesn't do. Let me ask you, which one is he going to respond to? Is he going to respond to the criticizing and the negative, or is he going to respond to the praise? You see, ladies, I understand why you do this. Because your husbands do things you don't like. You want them to change. But what you don't realize is the way that you are going about it doesn't work. Nagging will either make your husband angry, drive him crazy, destroy his spirit, or all three. I'm telling you, there's an option, there's another way, and that is to reverence your husband. And if you reverence your husband, you will have the power to change the things that you don't like about him. But he needs to know that you're sincere. Questioning is like correcting. We need to move on. Number three, how you can reverence your husband. Watch him. Listen to him. Admire him. Compliment him. Praise him. Love him. Teach your children to respect him. Create a peaceful atmosphere. Fix his favorite foods. Be loyal. Help develop and praise his intimacy skills. Admire the work that he does. Have you ever noticed that a man, when he completes a job, he stands back and admires it? He looks at the work that he has done, and he just likes to admire it for a while. And then he might go and do something else, but he will come back and he will admire that job he did before. And then what he usually does is he goes into the house and he says, honey, come out here, I want you to see something. The worst thing, ladies, you could ever do is to say, no, I'm too busy. I don't need to see that. Because a man He's wrapped up in his work. He gets his identity in that. And that is one of your greatest opportunities. Because to praise him, to praise his work rather, is almost the same as praising him. And man, there's a message for you in here too, because you need to know what to do when your wife praises you. Praise either purifies you or puffs you up. It makes you proud. Proverbs 27:21 says, as the finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. The finding pot burns out the dross. So men, you must let the praise burn out the laziness and self-centeredness and pride so that we can thank our wives for the praise and pass the good that comes out of our lives to the Lord, realizing that in our flesh dwells no good thing. We'll go back to our story of Hope. Hope was advised to clean the house from top to bottom, to make it look perfect. The next thing she was told to do was to cook her husband's favorite meal, and enough for all his moving buddies. The aroma was to fill the house when he walked in. She was to be sweet, pleasant, and attractive. She was to plan and speak words of praise and appreciation in front of his buddies who were to help him move out. She didn't know if she could stop him from moving out, but she wanted his buddies to say, "What kind of an idiot are you for leaving this?" She was not to nag or complain, and she was to get a babysitter. The final thing that she was to do was to write a letter and give it to her husband, showing her appreciation and admiration for him. Hope did all of those things. 6:30 came and went. 7:30 came and went. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, midnight. And then somewhere between 2 and 2:30 in the morning, Joe came home. He read the letter. She had wrote, "To my wonderful husband, provider, lover, and friend, I trust you in so many ways of counselor and making decisions." The next two sentences of her letter were private, describing their relationship when alone. And then she continued, "After God, you're my life. I'm not writing this to change your mind. I'm just writing this to let you know how wonderfully appreciated you are to me. I pray that God will bless you fully in whatever you do. I love you always and forever, your loving wife." And she signed it with the nickname her husband called her when they were in high school together. After he read the letter, Hope came out of the bedroom, warmed up the food, and they sat down at the table to talk. The next morning, Hope got up to see her husband off to work. She stood on the porch, waving and telling her husband that she loved him. Watching his wife instead of where he was going, Joe almost ran over something while backing out of the driveway. Hope chuckled and threw him a kiss. Over the next several days, he continued to mention divorce, but she just continued reverencing him. Hope also wrote a couple of letters from their son, Mark. Remember, he is less than a year old, so she would have to write the letters for him. But she wrote them as coming from him. She would use powerful word pictures. One letter after a few weeks said, "Dear Daddy, I'm feeling better now. I'm so glad you stayed with Mommy. I'm not hurting like I was. I get excited when I think how special our relationship will be if we both let God work in our lives. I know I'm going to have a tendency to be disobedient, disrespectful, and self-willed. I'm glad I have a daddy who is going to teach me how to be obedient, respectful, happy, and how to serve God. I dreamed about you again last night. I admire you more than you know. You're my hero. I want to be just like you. Only God and Mommy love you more than I do. Marky." 6 months later, Joe and Hope were still together. And then Joe had a car accident. He went through a red light and collided in the intersection with another car. For 2 weeks, he laid in the hospital. But during that time, Joe gave his life to the Lord. Joe and Hope are together today after many years. Today, Joe will not miss a church service. Hope says that her problem was not that she had trouble submitting to her husband. Her problem was that she didn't reverence him like she should. Wives, if you're a knight in shining armor, his suit has begun to rust. I'm telling you what to do this morning. I'm not preaching to condemn you. I'm not preaching to make you feel bad or to destroy you. I'm preaching to you because there's hope for you to build your marriage. And if there is somebody here today, your marriage is on the rocks. I'm preaching today because there is hope that you can save your marriage. What do you need to do? You need to learn what it means to reverence him. Don't do anything that would not be reverencing him. Don't let the drip, drip, drip of contention flow. Admire, respect, and appreciate him. You can build him and cause the armor to shine again, just like it was brand new. The most important thing a godly man needs is a godly wife. And that begins with being born again. And the most important thing a godly wife needs is a godly husband. And that begins with being born again. Have you been born again? And are you allowing Jesus Christ to work in your life and in your marriage and in your family? Your head's bowed and your eyes closed this morning. I realize that to hear this message alone might seem out of balance. And that's why I'd encourage you to get the tape from 2 weeks ago that was preached to the husbands to balance this out. I don't know about you men, but I couldn't honestly stand here this morning and say that I have loved my wife like Christ loved the church. I would have to admit that I've failed. I haven't done that. I haven't done everything that I could. Only with the grace of God could I ever be able to begin to love my wife like Christ loved the church. And ladies, I don't know about you today, but I also know that reverencing your husband is a tall order. And I don't know that if any of you have done that or not. But I pray that God would give you the grace to be able to do it to the best of your ability. You can fight for your rights. You can fight for the pilot seat. But you'll have contention and you won't have peace. Or you can surrender your right and reverence your husband and find peace. Either way, you might be able to make it. But I just want you to have a smooth journey along the way. And I'm concerned about the children. Your children. Make it safely to their destination. So I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands here this morning. But men, have you loved your wife like Christ loved the church? And ladies, have you seen to it that you reverence your husband? That you admire him, that you respect him, and he knows it. It shows. And you're not doing the things that would show disrespect. And maybe today you would just think of something that you could do. One of these things that we have mentioned or something else that would demonstrate reverence to him. Your marriage will be exciting. It'll be better than you could ever dream if we all do our part, we fulfill our roles as God intended them to be. Father, today, I pray, Lord, that if there is any men here, their armor has begun to rust. They're not what they should be. Lord, that you would help them to realize that this morning, and to make a commitment again to love their wife and to build security in their relationship. And if there's any wives here today that they have been the reason why their knight's armor has rusted, or they've had part of the reason for it, Lord, that you would just speak to them, that you would give them grace to be able to follow out their duty and the role that you have given them. Lord, I know that it won't be easy, but I pray that you would give them joy, the joy that comes from knowing that they are being obedient to you and fulfilling your word and really doing the purpose, the thing that they were created to do. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.